Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 118. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire. Cleanse my thought in thy pure fire. Hymn number 118. The scriptural selection this morning will be given by Carolyn from Canada.
Isaiah. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer, and then follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 247. Oh, walk with God along the road. Your strength he will renew. Wait on the everlasting God, and he will walk with you. Hymn number 247.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock with our roundtable discussion, where we talk about the week's Bible lesson and other timely topics and get a deeper understanding of how to apply Christian Science. If you missed this morning's discussion, you can find the link to it, to the recording of it, on our website, plainfieldcs.com, on our YouTube channel, or our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday at 11 a.m. It has its own teleconference number, so any child anywhere in the world can participate. In fact, many of the students do attend by phone. So, if you have a child of Sunday school age and don't live in the area, call the church and we will give you the number, and our teachers will be more than happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We also have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15. Where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives changed through the study and practice of Christian Science. We have a website that has an amazing amount of the very finest Christian Science literature that you can read, download, and listen to. There are other writings by Mary Baker Eddy and writings by students who lived in her home. These are a wonderful source to get the pure teaching that Mrs. Eddy gave. And we also have 20 additional websites in a variety of languages so that people around the world can hear and read the healing truths of pure Christian Science in their own language. So feel free to look through our websites. They are all free. There is never a charge. And we have a nursery available at every one of our services for infants and toddlers. So be sure to bring the whole family. And one more announcement. The September full-text lesson booklets have been printed and mailed to our subscribers. So yours is on the way. Everyone is welcome to all of our services, including all of you who are listening and participating from all over the world. We're so happy to have you with us. We will now have the reading of a testimony from Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained from studying the Christian Science textbook. That reading will be given this morning by Andrea from Idaho.
Good morning. From page 643 of Science and Health, Grateful for Moral and Spiritual Awakening. About 4 years ago, after I had tried different ways and means to be relieved from bodily suffering, a faithful friend called my attention to the teaching of Christian Science. After some opposition, I decided to investigate it, with the thought that if this teaching would be helpful, it was meant for me as well as others. If it did not afford any help, I would put it aside again, but that I would find out and be convinced. After I had read Mrs. Eddy's work, Science and Health, a few days, I found that my ailments had disappeared and a rest had come to me, which I had never known before. I had smoked almost incessantly, although I had often determined to use my willpower and never smoke again, but had always failed. This desire, as well as the desire for drink, simply disappeared. And I wish to say here that I received all these benefits before I had gained much understanding of what I was reading. Like a prisoner who had been in chains for years, I was suddenly set free. I did not then know how the chain had been removed, but I had to acknowledge that it had come through reading this book. I then felt an ardent desire to read more and to know what this power was that had freed me in a few days of that which I had been trying for years to shake off and had failed. It then became clear to me that this was the truth which Jesus Christ had taught and preached to free humanity almost 2,000 years ago. It did not, however, occur to me to apply it to my business affairs. On the contrary, I first thought that if I continued in the study, I would have to retire from business. This did not happen, however, for I gradually found that the little understanding of this wonderful teaching which I had acquired became a great help to me in my business. I became more friendly and more honest, more loving to my fellow men, and I also acquired better judgment and was able to do the right thing at the right time. As a natural result, my business improved. Before I knew anything of Christian Science, my business had often been a burden to me. Fear and worry deprived me of rest. How different it is now. Through the study of the Bible, which now possesses unmeasurable treasures for me, and of our textbook Science and Health, and the other works of our leader, I receive peace and confidence in God, and that insight into character, which is necessary for the correct management of any business. Initials WHH from Bloomfield, Nebraska.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. Today's lesson sermon can be found on page 12 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, Spirit. The golden text is from John. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The responsive reading is from Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh,
that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
So men, they that are in the flesh, cannot please God.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Gary will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Exodus. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. 2 Kings. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Isaiah. "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Galatians. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this: thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not, like that of mortals, in brute instinct, nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his father, and life is the law of his being. From beginning to end, the scriptures are full of accounts of the triumph of spirit, mind, over matter. Moses proved the power of mind by what men called miracles. So did Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha. The Christian era was ushered in with signs and wonders. Miracles are impossible in science, and here science takes issue with popular religions. The scientific manifestation of power is from the divine nature, and is not supernatural, since science is an explication of nature. The belief that the universe, including man, is governed in general by material laws, but that occasionally spirit sets aside these laws, this belief belittles omnipotent wisdom and gives to matter the precedence over spirit. It is contrary to Christian science to suppose that life is either material or organically spiritual. Between Christian science and all forms of superstition, a great gulf is fixed, as impassable as that between Dives and Lazarus. The ancient prophets gained their foresight from a spiritual, incorporeal standpoint, not by foreshadowing evil and mistaking fact for fiction, predicting the future from a groundwork of corporeality and human belief. When sufficiently advanced in science to be in harmony with the truth of being, men become seers and prophets involuntarily, controlled not by demons, spirits, or demigods, but by the one Spirit. It is the prerogative of the ever-present divine mind and of thought which is in rapport with this mind to know the past, the present, and the future. According to Christian Science, the only real senses of man are spiritual, emanating from the divine mind. Thought passes from God to man, but neither sensation nor report goes from material body to mind. The intercommunication is always from God to his idea, man. Matter is not sentient and cannot be cognizant of good or of evil, of pleasure or of pain. Man's individuality is not material. This science of being obtains not alone hereafter in what men call paradise, but here and now. It is the great fact of being for time and eternity. What then is the material personality which suffers, sins, and dies? It is not man, the image and likeness of God, but man's counterfeit, the inverted likeness, the unlikeness called sin, sickness, and death. The unreality of the claim that a mortal is the true image of God is illustrated by the opposite natures of spirit and matter, mind and body. For one is intelligence, while the other is non-intelligence. The real life or mind and its opposite, the so-called material life and mind, are figured by two geometrical symbols, a circle or sphere and a straight line. The circle represents the infinite without beginning or end. The straight line represents the finite, which has both beginning and end. The sphere represents good, the self-existent and eternal individuality or mind. The straight line represents evil, a belief in a self-made and temporary material existence. Eternal mind and temporary material existence never unite in figure or in fact. A straight line finds no abiding place in a curve, and a curve finds no adjustment to a straight line. Similarly, matter has no place in spirit, and spirit has no place in matter. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace. The mortal mind, through which truth appears most vividly, is that one which has lost much materiality, much error, in order to become a better transparency for truth. Then, like a cloud melting into thin vapor, it no longer hides the sun. Consciousness constructs a better body when faith in matter has been conquered. Correct material belief by spiritual understanding, and spirit will form you anew. You will never fear again, except to offend God, and you will never believe that heart or any portion of the body can destroy you. From love and from the light and harmony which are the abode of spirit, only reflections of good can come. Rightly understood, instead of possessing a sentient material form, man has a sensationless body. And God, the soul of man and of all existence, being perpetual in his own individuality, harmony, and immortality, imparts and perpetuates these qualities in man through mind, not matter. The only excuse for entertaining human opinions and rejecting the science of being is our mortal ignorance of spirit, ignorance which yields only to the understanding of divine science, the understanding by which we enter into the kingdom of truth on earth and learn that spirit is infinite and supreme. Spirit and matter no more commingle than light and darkness. When one appears, the other disappears. As mortals begin to understand spirit, they give up the belief that there is any true existence apart from God.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 88. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be. And with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, Christ's own gracious Spirit speak. Hymn number 88.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 266. Our God is love, and all his sons his image bear, we know. The heart with love to God inspired, with love to man will glow. Hymn number 266.
From the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen.